All right, well, welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter, @PK Glue Guys. Draft night, Brian.
Mike, you're fired up.
We're here. We did it.
We got a guy.
The Nets had the first overall pick of the draft, and they took.
Stop. Don't even. Maybe this was subconscious, but when I pulled up the screen to watch the NBA draft tonight, it had already skipped to the second pick, and I was like, "Oh, great, beautiful!
Oh, that's wonderful. A blessing from above."
I didn't get to hear how they dragged the Nets through the mud.
I will say, so if you didn't hear it, what they did do is that they did not mention that the pick came from the Nets. I think that was a tactical decision.
At no point they did that.
Adam Silver walked up there. I mean, ESPN obviously had the chyron that said this pick is from the Celtics, which came from the Nets, which now is in the Sixers' control. But when Adam Silver walked up there, he said, this pick is from a trade between the Celtics and the Sixers. He made no mention of the fact that it was between the Nets. The Nets had some involvement in it, which I think is on purpose. I think,
laundered it for the casual fan.
I think it's more to the fact that, like, they didn't want to just embarrass the Nets in their own building.
Sure.
Because I'm sure it is an embarrassment for the league that this happened. I think the league overall probably isn't that the Celtics just have the top overall pick the next 12 years.
They did run that banner of this is the first time a lottery or the team with the worst record has not picked in the lottery since like the inception of the lottery in 1985.
Not a good sign, but hey, the Nets got a lottery style pick with their pick.
Well, what you were saying was Draft Express had him at Jared Allen at 8.
So Nets Daily had a tweet. After obviously, so Jared Allen is the pick for the Nets. If you're finding out the news from us, you may be a little bit too late, but Jared Allen was the pick for the Nets, and Nets Daily, I guess, had a tweet that said Draft Express had put Jared Allen as the 8th overall pick something in April. Mm-hmm. April's not that long ago.
No.
I think even in the whole draft process, Allen was seemed to be late second round, late lottery pick, early next level. I think for most people, you know, Allen was not even in our thoughts, right? I mean, there was no thought that he was going to be the pick.
Now, a lot of people like the no leaking of the thoughts in general. Do you care about the leaking of the thoughts? Does that strike you just notionally as something that screams to you, these are competent people.
But sure.
Or do you not put much stock in that?
Well, it's an interesting thing right now because you sit here and you think, if they had leaked a little bit that they liked Jared Allen, then we would have begun to research him as a fan base. We would have gone to consume all of his basketball skills early on, and then we would have been on board with Jared Allen.
You think that's how that works?
Yeah,
I'm not sure it is.
Well, no, so the Celtics, okay. So the Celtics fans had consumed Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
They had taken him in, given him bread and salt like in Game of Thrones, made him a guest in their home.
Is that from the books? Is that a reference to?
Books,
I don't know.
Also, bread and salt. Very important in the reigns of Castamere, the Red Wedding, what made it so brutal was the fact that the Lord of the river, whatever his name is, he offered them food. And once you offer people food, they are under your protection, and you should not kill them.
So I watched the show. I know that you got that from the book. You must be.
It's partly from the books, but it's also it's alluded to in the TV show, which the trailer dropped. Did you watch the trailer?
It
was amazing.
Yeah.
No, I think there's something like, does it mean anything for Jared Allen's career that we didn't know that he was going to be the pick? It doesn't. But for my understanding of what the Nets were going to do, I think this came out of the blue, right? I mean, no one had any sense that Jared Allen was going to be the guy at this point. There was no sense, right?
Not on this end of the table.
I don't think we saw him be the guy at all. There was not even, well, partly again, and this is a positive. So if we're going to go positive and negatives, positive is that like he was expected to go earlier. Mm-hmm. There was some DeAndre-ish buzz.
Yeah.
With him. Texas school, great hair, you know, athletic, lanky center. You kind of get the DeAndre buzz, but I think we're finding out already that he's like a pretty nerdy dude, and maybe it's not so exactly DeAndre. What were your thoughts about it, Bri?
Well, first of all, let me say that he's just a baby boy.
You're just a baby boy. You don't know any better.
That's true.
just wanted an excuse to drop it. I don't know. It's not a thing. Like my first thought in the whole thing was, this says a lot more about the strategy going forward than it does about the player, maybe itself, himself. That this, you know, I was under the presumption that this would be a team that would be pure system. Everyone's going to be shooting threes. Everyone's going to be.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, somewhat having some overlapping skills. This dude seems to have none of those skills.
He doesn't. He shot 7 threes, I think, in college.
Yeah, doesn't even shoot really anything other than runners and hook shots from pretty close range. It appears there's not even a jump shot really that is showing up, at least on my very early, my nascent research that I've done.
Well, and to be honest, I mean, Shaka Smart's his college coach. They were bad this year at Texas, but Shaka Smart's the kind of coach that if a guy can shoot threes as a center, he's going to let him take a shoot three. So,
yeah.
And he's a 56% free throw shooter.
Yeah. He's a proper JaVale McGee, DeAndre Jordan.
Dunk.
John Henderson. Who are the other?
Just horrible guys. Who are the other all guys? They can do is dunk.
Yeah.
I do think that.
Who are those guys that break out other than DeAndre Jordan who. DeAndre Jordan, if you put him on any other team without Chris Paul, I think you have a different product entirely. But like, so it's interesting to me to have a person like this who really relies on playmakers around him. Now, this is a team that has, they're budding playmakers. They're not, they're not pronounced playmakers. They're not veteran playmakers, but still a team of playmakers to a degree. So it's sort of, you can make an argument for it, but not entirely. You know what I mean?
What, you make an argument for the pick overall? The fact that...
Make an argument for, like, for adding a player that requires other playmakers around them to deliver on all the goods effectively and them to... He's a cleanup guy.
And if you are selling this pick, you're selling it as the fact that at 22 overall, we got some guy who could be DeAndre-ish, right? And DeAndre-ish is pretty awesome. He's a max player. Like, so you're basically selling... Brian Lewis from the Post tweeted this out. Thank you, Brian, for following the Nets beat as you do. And he put us in the New York Post, our podcast, so we love him even
more. Let's get it, your boy.
He put out that he asked Atkinson yesterday, what's the thing that he wants the most? What Atkinson wants the most is a rim-protecting big who can also kind of switch out on screens and do all the things that you need to do now in the NBA. It would seem like Jared Allen is that guy. It would seem like Jared Allen should be athletic enough to guard guys out on the wing. He's a 35-inch vertical that shows explosiveness. We were watching the draft express. I mean, this is the funny thing. This is how out of the blue it was. I wrote a whole thing. So it kind of got buried on Nets Daily because the Brook trade happened. I wrote a whole analysis of all the guys between, I think it was 16 and 33 on draft express, all the prospects.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote about them and ranked them in a certain way. I don't even think Jared Allen was on my list. I had no analysis of him. He is so out of the blue that I don't think Nets fans had a reason to put him in and pull him in and have him in our orbit. Now he's in our orbit, and now we're kind of digging into him a little bit.
Well, he might be so in our orbit. Like, depending on what the summer looks like, he might be starting. I mean, like, what? Like,
they kind of got Mozgov. I mean,
yeah. So he's very much part of our orbit. And, well, it just suggests to me, like, I just hope everyone's on the same page with this pick. I hope that there isn't any dissonance in the front office where, I guess you're saying Kenny Atkinson wants a player like this, and Sean Marks is willing to like throw him this bone or something.
And it may not even be Sean Marks is throwing him the bone, right? It could just be that Sean Marks also thinks if you get a center, he's got to be able to block shots.
Yeah,
and to be honest, the criticism of Brook Lopez played better defense in the post, of course, but. He didn't rebound, and he didn't really affect the game above the rim.
Yeah,
Jared Allen does both of those things.
He's not a toolsy big. That's what I've been seeing floating around.
Brook Lopez?
Jared Allen is a toolsy big.
Yeah, that's the definition of. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen this a lot until this season. People calling people toolsy. Have you seen that?
That usually means that you're not developed. Because
you're bad.
Right? Yeah. That usually means like you flash a little bit of talent.
Yeah.
But you have no skill beyond that.
I mean, with the 30 minutes of prep that we just did going into this, there are clips of him taking running hooks. And that's a shot you will never see DeAndre or maybe you will, but very infrequently take or make in a half court set.
So
there is some kind of offensive talent to build off of. I'm not going to say he's a total JaVale McGee disaster offensively for the first 8 years of his career or whatever.
Yeah, and JaVale McGee is interesting because he was a small forward in college, right, if you can kind of believe that. Just quickly, I'm going to go through positives and negatives so we can kind of lay out the case for this guy. If you're let's great length, 7 foot, 5.25 inch wingspan, which is huge. Max Vert was 35.5, so he can jump. But the thing is that, like, so if you look at the guys around him that were still there, the big from UCLA and the big from North Carolina, both freshmen like him, weren't as athletic as him. He was the most athletic big. So if you're going to go big and you're going to go athletic, he was the guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Productive, he scored 13.4 points a game, 8.4 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks. I mean, that is a legitimate freshman year that you're not projecting at that point. Well, you are, but you're not guessing. There's a lot of guys out there, like Tony Bradley, again, from North Carolina. Yeah, no sense of who's going to. And he's just 19. He turned 19 in April.
1998 is his birthday.
That's devastating because we're. Things, so, I think I'm an 88. I think you're an 88.
No, I'm 87, man. I know.
Wow, I can see it on your face.
I feel it in my body. I feel it in my bones.
So, problem is, you can't shoot free throws. 56%. That's a bad sign. That means you're probably never going to be able to do it.
That does not bode well for the future.
So, that means that he'll. DeAndre is his ceiling.
He's a hackable player in the future.
Hackable player.
Yeah.
You know, obviously 22nd overall pick. You know, if he even becomes a starter, that's a success.
Yeah.
But he's not any good at that. He is a little skinny. His weight is a good listed weight, but you look at him, a little skinny for my liking. Needs a little bit more meat on those bones, and I don't know if he can get meat on those bones.
No, he's got a good frame.
You like his frame?
I like that. Sizing up his frame.
Hips?
Hey,
shoulders, what do you say?
The Draft Express guy, specifically in the banner, was like, palms the ball like a grapefruit.
I saw that multiple times.
Palms the ball like a grapefruit.
You always want to hear that.
Yeah. Palms are like a ping pong ball.
Is that better? Is that better or gooder? I guess that'd be gooder.
Well, actually, there's a bell curve, I think, to this one, and at the point where you're holding it the size, that's a deficiency.
I don't even know if I can palm a grapefruit, to be honest.
You get a real
problem. Look at these meaty hands. I don't know.
Oh my God, your hands really are something else.
Yeah, I know. That's why I can't catch anything. You've seen me trying to catch footballs. I have to use my whole arm.
It's your eyes. It's the whole deal. It's everything.
Again, I've been told I look more athletic than I am, which is a compliment.
I posted your picture on the internet just a few minutes ago.
Thank you for that.
So tweet at us if you think Mike looks more athletic than dystrophy. He sounds. let us know.
And again, he's 6'10 in shoes, which is a fine size, but he's not.
It says here 6'11.
That's wrong.
Oh, all right.
He's 6'9 and something without shoes. I always love the without shoes and with shoes, but
yeah, I know.
You always want to see who has the biggest heels at that point. But he's a fine size, but he's not, you know, he's not a freak in that way. But DeAndre's not that tall. Dwight Howard's apparently just 6'9 if you really kind of break it down.
Yeah, 6'8 and without shoes and sandals.
I think it's a benefit. Obviously you're reading into him. He played power forward at college, which is pretty. If you're going to make the case for him, you would say he had a bad college team. He played power forward when he's even going to be a center in the NBA. It's not like he's not going to be a power forward. He's going to only play center. You want to do fun facts?
Yes, please.
The funnest of is that he built his own computer, which I think I've never built my own computer, but I think if you know how to. I think it's actually not that hard, right?
You're
is
not
that
like one of those things soldering that, like, together like microchips or anything.
Yeah, yeah, it's you're buying a couple of boards and you're sticking them into a rack.
I mean, look, I don't want to knock it. It's great, and it suggests that he's into hobbies, and I love that about people.
And his hobby is an odd one.
Yeah, it's a cool one.
But I don't. I think if it's one of those things that we got stuck in when computers became a new thing in the 80s. That he built his own computer. We're thinking it's Apollo 13.
Yeah, he's got that giant magnifying glass thing on a boom. Yeah.
But really, what you're doing is you're ordering your stuff off Amazon,
yeah,
and you're just sticking it into a rack. But
yeah, But that still, you know, shows a certain kind of ambition.
What are you feeling about him? Are you happy now? Or we're sitting here, so it's 11:32, so we've had this pick for about an hour.
I will say I'm actually, like, I can convince myself of anything pretty quickly that I've learned. But that being said, pretty happy because at least we get to watch him right out of the gate. You know, on paper, I think the move is the draft and stash, and... Now
you
that
were a pretty big proponent.
Now that it's happened, I'm like, I'm kind of excited to just see some young people doing some young people things out there right out of the gate.
I will say a pick and roll between him and D'Angelo Russell, where he's going to throw down a dunky game, where I'm going to be happy.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting, weird squad next year. It's going to be. But think about this: Rondae Hollis Jefferson is the longest tenured net on the roster right now.
How terrible is that?
It's very odd.
He's the only pre-Mark Snet, right?
Yeah.
And there's been so many rumors that he's going to get traded. He hasn't been traded yet, so you don't think it would happen.
Mark's guys. Mark
puts his marks on them.
Michael.
Matt Parker tweeted us this.
I need like a drop for a bazinger.
That we traded Brooke Lopez, a geek, for a nerd and Jared Allen. I think we were watching Jared Allen's post-draft interview with ESPN. Sweet kid.
Yeah.
Totally nice. Doesn't seem like, you know, he fits in with the Nets. I think that's going to be clear coming
up. He was sweet. I felt my heart longed for it. I really liked the way that he sounded. He looked at the reporter dead in the eyes and was, you know, sincere.
He retweeted. I've dug deep into his Twitter account. Retweeted a Pokemon parody account. He tweeted about Star Wars. I'm already loving this pick. I think it's going to be the best pick the Nets have ever made.
Yeah, I mean,
it's going
to
be fantastic.
When you have those kinds of interests, it means he's very likely to be on this podcast someday.
I still think it's a disappointment because. So, and I kind of think this is going to inform my thinking for the offseason. The Nets under Marks, and you think it will continue, is that they're making moves to be better in 4 years and not immediately, right? So, like, there's a belief right now that in restricted free agency, they're going to get Otto Porter, they're going to get Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, that they're going to throw max contracts at those dudes, and that they're maybe then going to sign someone else and get a little bit better. But, like, I don't get why that would happen, right? Because if you are Sean Marks, and you're trying to build this smartly, and you're trying to build it up, what you should probably do, don't worry about tanking this year. Tank the next season after that, because that's when you have your own first-round pick again.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be two drafts away.
Zion.
And you'd hope Caris LeVert something. D'Angelo Russell will only be 23. You hope he's something. Jared Allen will be 21. You hope he's something at that point. Like, I'm beginning to think more and more that it's unlikely that the Nets are going to go huge in free agency. It just doesn't make sense to spend a ton of money to have your like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Otto Porter aren't that good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not. So I don't know why you would stuff your sheet with those.
How old is Otto Porter right now?
He's just 23.
It's incredibly young.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think he's just 23. What is he?
It's 24.
24.
But he just turned 24.
He just turned 24 in June, like early June. So. He's interesting. I'm sure we'll have the podcast about KCP or Otto. We're going to have that debate. I'm now team Otto just because age, and he's a better player right now. And usually guys that young who are already pretty good just get better. They don't get worse.
Dude, his percentages are so sick. It's insane.
I know, but
his 2-point percentage is 57%. That's outrageous.
What scares me about that, though, is I watched those games.
Yeah.
And none of those shots are really of his making. They're all fed. They're all fed off of the beast that is John Wall. I think he's basically that guy.
You never really see players like this. Have you ever seen a wing player whose percentages were just abnormally high and his scoring total was just not that impressive?
Right.
Like, there's nobody that I can think of that, like, who is like that? Very strange, right?
Trevor Ariza is another old wizard, but like,
but he was
sort of like that.
Ariza had issues like with shot selection early on in his career.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like Otto Porter's so young.
Let's see what Trevor Ariza's stats were.
I just want to read off a couple of names that were still there that the Nets could have taken. All right, I think everyone who was watching the draft was watching for OJ Anunoby. I mean, that's a guy who was thought to be a lottery pick. Tore his ACL, getting like next Kawhi Leonard buzz. He was still on the board. Pasechniks, my boy, 7'3", 3-point shooting Latvian center. I was so in on him, and he was still on the board. Tony Bradley, Jonah Bolden. Jordan Bolden was getting pushed up the boards like crazy in these last few days. And it's interesting how that happens, where these guys get just shoved up and the media starts talking about them. It's like, every media guy will start writing a Jonah Bolden column a week before the draft.
Dude, I'm still on this Ariza thing as a comparison, and it's a pretty great comparison. It's like, but it makes me think Otto Porter is way better than I realized, just on a pure statistical level.
Statistical, yes.
Like,
I'm just saying, on the when you watch him, he's not
Ariza. You know, no, like a great comparison. Let me just say that first of all, because low point totals generally. Very good percentages for the latter half of his career, and still not even close. Not even close to what this dude is doing percentage wise.
To Otto?
Yeah. Like his best year, he's shooting 40 and 50. Otto is shooting, what is it? Let's see. Last year in his fourth year, 43 and 57. Like so high. Playing 80 games.
At one point, he was the best 3-point shooter in the NBA in terms of percentage wise. I don't think he ended up that way, but he basically was, right?
And taking 4.3 threes a game is a pretty high shot total.
But again, I'm just telling you, and I want to warn Nets fans, I watched it happen. I saw where those ports came from. It's not. You're dumb. It's not pull ups. It's not. It's
no,
not
I know.
Dribbling off a screen and shooting. It was him running off a screen, maybe, and then shooting a wide open J because John Wall was driving the hoop, and then John Wall saw him in the corner and he threw him the ball.
Dude, we need shooters so bad. I would throw the kitchen sink at this kid.
I don't know if we should have this debate now. It's just too raw, Brian. But this team isn't good enough to pay Otto Porter the max, right? I mean, because what is it going to do? Your stat sheet is stuffed with Andrew Nicholson, Mozgov, and Otto Porter, and then it's like all they should be worried about is saving cap space, so then they can take more Mozgovs to get more D'Angelo Russells.
You're thinking you're skipping steps again, Mike.
You're skipping steps.
You're skipping steps in the you're skipping rungs in the ladder to success. You need to take these kinds of calculated risks, build your own players up. You can't just hope to get lucky in the draft and then have some free agent want to play for your team down the road. You take these opportunities when they come. And this is the perfect guy.
By the way, you're literally defining skipping steps.
No.
By
signing a free agent is not skipping steps.
Risks are skipping steps.
It's a certain kind of risk. It's signing Rudy Gay to a max contract.
Oh, great.
Steps. That's a step skipping. Signing Otto Porter. Just signing a free agent is not skipping steps.
Anyone. They're not ready. Oh, my God.
No, it's different. You have to.
I wouldn't do it.
You have to do something. You have to. This team
isn't
made better by being bad, so why not try to.
Joe Ingles.
Mike, I don't want to fight you. After we've had a carafe of wine now, and things are going to get tested.
I feel like I'm at a tapas place. It's also steamy.
I feel like I'm in Saigon right now. So.
By the way, I want to say go on our Twitter at BK Glue Guys, you can see where we are. It's a how would you describe this?
A classic Brian Glue dungeon.
But it's an upscale glue
slightly
dungeon.
Slightly more
it's
upscale glue
the
dungeon.
The penthouse, glue. The glue penthouse.
The penthouse of the dungeon. It's still in this inside of the dungeon.
Yeah. So, Jared Allen, your final grade on the pick.
Oh, it's very confusing, honestly. It took me for a loop. Is that what you say? I don't know. What's, I mean, oh, God. I want to come out hot and be like A or F, yeah. But, I mean, it's a hearty B minus. Like, it's interesting. I think, like, I'm actually, like, it's compelling that they think that they need a player that does that on whatever the future of this team is going to be. That they still are looking for the Tristan Thompson, like in the draft at this stage is interesting to me. It suggests a lot about what they might do free agency wise. It suggests a lot about how they're going to fill holes in other places, that they want a sort of auxiliary player at 22, you know? So yeah, I'm going to give it a hearty B minus.
Cause I think it's interesting you bring that. They did not bet big, right?
No.
I mean, they did bet on potential. They didn't bet, like, they didn't draft Josh Hart. If they drafted Josh Hart, you would have been like, oh, they got a guy who was, like, sound and can contribute right away.
Let me top you off here, Mike.
But what they did was they drafted sort of, like, middle-of-the-road, normal NBA draft stuff. I love the little twist at the end on the line there.
That's from working in the biz.
It's a classy move. I did not expect this. I mean, Pasechnik's, if I was going to draft any center, I would draft him just because he seems to offer so much potential, just the fact that he can shoot threes. And again, this is what we think the Nets want to play. Maybe it's not that important that they play that way and they just want talent. But Jared Allen doesn't even seem to be the most talent bet. OJ Anunoby seemed to be the most talent bet. You basically be drafting a guy, if you don't know who he is, Indiana, like 6'7" swing guy who is getting next Kawhi Leonard buzz. He tore his ACL, so he wouldn't even be back. He probably wouldn't even play the whole first year just because why would you play him at all? But if, like, and he was on the board, if you were betting big, you'd bet big on him. You would just say, I'm going to take this guy, take a redshirt year, and then see what happens. With Jared Allen, it's a little bit like, it's a little middle of the road. It's the kind of
draft pick you take when you're going to throw a max contract at Otto Porter. That's exactly...
Is that what this was setting up?
That's exactly what this is setting up. Mark my words, the man's going to get that offer. You know,
by the Nets?
Yes. I think that this suggests that they're going to do things like that. I don't know. I don't think that's crazy to say that
it is
those things are related.
It is a need, right? It's a need by the Nets to get a center who can block shots and do stuff like that. That's what's interesting about it. So you take Jared Allen. We're still waiting on the second round pick. Again, by the way, we're recording this during the draft, so there's a lot that could still happen. But we're in the second round, so we don't really think we care. But Doug Burek retweets this, and Doug, thank you for listening to the pod.
Cheer boy. Hold up. It's cheer boy.
Is this loud enough?
Yeah. Doug Burek.
Seth Davis says this. You want to talk about upside? Jared Allen has a lot of upside.
Sweet.
I think it's a lot to... It's not a home run. Maybe it will turn into a home run. The guy's got a great haircut, a great mustache, a great overall feel. But it doesn't...
Culture-wise, it's a fit. We'll see. Auxiliary player. Depends on who else we go after this whole offseason. Do you want to do some news around the league?
Well, I want to dig into one last thing.
Holy.
And we kind of spoke about this, but I want to dig it into, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Marks did not... That we had no clue, again. That we had no clue that this was going to happen. Positive, negative, yes or no? I just want to get it from you, because I didn't get it from you earlier.
That we had no clue that this was going to happen?
We had no clue that Jared Allen was going to be... What does that say to you about the organization? You asked me, but I want to get it from you.
It's... You know, I think everyone agrees that it's nice. Okay, so I have a podcast. Mike, you may or may not know this.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for being on it.
Thanks.
Tonight. So, from a podcaster's perspective, I don't love it, you know? I don't... I like a sieve of the front office. The Billy King years were juicy, and that was a... there was drippings all over the place.
You seem to just be shouting at anyone
turkey dinner every night. There were waterfowl slow roasting on this podcast for many years. So yeah, it's a little bit more difficult now, but it keeps us on our toes. It makes us better. You know, it's like when you're playing at a park and they have like thick double rims, nothing breakaway, and you just got to be better. You know, you just got to shoot for the middle of the hoop. Mike's like drifting off.
No, what I was doing.
He's never played basketball in his life.
I was thinking about I was trying to go through the roster real quick in my head of, okay, what would the starting lineup look like for the Nets next season? And what it's kind of crazy low 20s, right? It's D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert. I think you kind of have to start them. Maybe yes. Randy Floyd gets the token start, but those two guys are the starters. Otto Porter, if he gets a max contract, that's a 24-year-old who just turned 24. Jared Allen, maybe a starter. Because Mozgov will be the starter, but Jared Allen will probably get just as many minutes. So let's split that in half. Then power forward, who knows at that point. It'll be interesting. You want to do news around the league?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have anything, do you?
Yeah, I got some.
It's the news!
All right, go, go.
All right, news around the league here. Obviously, there's a couple of big trades. Real quick, I want to get to a Nets sort of related thing. So one trade that affected the Nets the most was the fact that the Trailblazers traded two of their picks to move up to 10 with the Kings. We had a fantasy of that the Trailblazers were going to package one of their first-round picks with Alan Crabb, and they'd be sent to the Nets. That didn't happen. Unfortunately,
no, that didn't.
They got sent to the Kings. The Jimmy Butler thing is the biggest thing, of course. People are trashing the Bulls online. I think there's just such negativity around the Bulls. It's awful. The trade, if you don't know, is Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, a pick that ended up being Lauri Markkanen for Jimmy Butler, and another first round pick, Justin Patton. I don't hate it. If you're the Bulls, like I think I don't really say this for most of these things. I think the trades would be what they would be, but like. You don't want to wait long on a trade. You usually don't want to push it to the max to then trade them. Like, you want the Deron Williams to the Nets situation. You want to
More intrigued on the thing, like, from the Timberwolves perspective, what that, like, pairing Butler with Wiggins is a hilarious lineup. I mean, I like it. I like when any team goes all in on one kind of player. Like, if you could have a team with like five of one version of a player, I would really like to see how that, like, five LeBron James. Who doesn't want that?
Yeah. Or five. What would the Nets version of that be? Yeah. Five Randy Boys.
Five Justin Hamiltons.
I think it will be interesting because I don't know if Wiggins is as good as, like, we're supposed to believe he is, and he's gonna. Jimmy Butler's immediately going to come in and be like the dude, and then Karl Anthony Towns will be the dude's best friend, and then Wiggins, kind of his destiny is to be third banana. I mean, he's always been low-key Andrew, basically, his whole career.
Is that a nickname?
That's what everyone's been saying on the streets for him. real quick, I just want some oddities. So that's our Jimmy Butler analysis.
Good.
Chad Ford had a winners and losers column out. It's out right now, and we're not even to the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Is that too soon?
you want me to critique my fellow media men?
Too soon, right? It's not his fault. His editor told him to do it.
Dude, he's probably East Coast. It's getting late. Yeah.
I actually think he lives in Hawaii, but.
Well, then screw him. What is he getting a knockoff at? Get out of here.
We were looking at this earlier. Markel Fultz's Instagram. So,
this is great.
These rookies, they sign these odd contracts where essentially they're just social media contracts. They send out one social media post. Markel Fultz's Instagram put out immediately a picture of him in a Sixers hat, and then it said something essentially to the lines of, "I'm so excited to go to parentheses insert city." And play for parentheses insert team with my Tissot watch. Tissot is the brand. If you want to sponsor us, please let me know.
I do love anytime an endorsement facade is ruptured in that way. Katie, my wife, was just showing me Kim Zolciak, a reality TV star's child.
This is coming up.
19-year-old child posting herself in front of a like Range Rover, being like, just bought my first car at 19. Because I read like hashtag The Secret, which is a book, I guess.
Oh God!
And yeah, and thank God and bless God and all this stuff about God, very interesting. But I, I just and there were 60,000 likes on that, and probably 40,000 of them are bots. But there are 20,000 people in this world,
right?
Clicking. Who are like this plastic surgery affected teen mm-hmm. who's got all kinds of issues, who's just being very vacuous in this
on TV
one moment,
since
posting
she was like 12,
herself
right?
and her. You know, her transient pleasure about her car on the internet. They're like, authentically, yes. I like that.
Our Twitter posts get as many likes.
By the way, I just got a new Range Rover because I read The Secrets. We got to get some more of those endorsements. More of those, like, our internet celebrity
so
is
we
not...
need Range Rover cars?
No, so we just need to, like, we'll start low. We'll get with, the juices. It seems like juice cleanses are the entry level.
Juices and granola.
Yeah, just got my new juice cleanse from X-Lax or whatever it is. That's really what it's about.
I don't know if they ventured into that space, but we'll check it out.
They should. Should hire us as, who shouldn't hire us as consultants at this point?
One last thing. ESPN headline that is already out there right now, Brian. Lakers coach Luke Walton shrugs off LaVar Ball prediction. LaVar Ball, I guess, was asked after his son was drafted by the Lakers, what will the Lakers be this year? And he said, my son's going to take him to the playoffs.
Oh, boy.
So we're already... I'm a fan of LaVar Ball. I love everything he does. If anyone takes him seriously, they've got a problem.
Yeah.
But I cannot go through a season of this. I can't go through a season of consuming these type of headlines. It just can't happen. Brian.
Can I say that having watched a little bit more LaVar Ball since we last spoke, I see a lot more of myself in him than I'm comfortable with. I'm like, maybe not like as publicly, you know, but in private, I'm the kind of guy that'll be like, I have ESP. Like, I have extrasensory perception. I see ghosts. Just make outrageous claims that aren't true.
Sure.
For fun. And, I don't do it on national TV, but I do. I felt a sort of kindred spirit there that I didn't feel before. So
I kind of lie all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand why people are.
Massive liar.
Why do people take everyone so seriously all the time?
Oh, dude, I don't even know. Wait, there's something else I wanted to say about this whole thing. Wait, what was
the draft or LaVar Ball?
Oh,
by the way.
No, kid.
If you want some non-D'Angelo Russell, Brooke Lopez trade or non-draft pod, Dinwiddie pod.
Let me get this thing in here first before you go into the Spencer Dinwiddie pod, because that was a great show and Spencer was a hoot to have on.
Yeah,
but
real hoot.
Wanted to talk about your we talked last time about Luke Walton and your claim that he was a quote-unquote cool guy. So I went in to
false
every,
characterization.
Every Lakers forum.
False characterization.
Every Lakers forum that I could find. And based on my very small sample size, just reading what people were
That's
saying.
What she said.
Michael, come on. Anyways, the consensus was that he had a special relationship with Brandon Ingram that he did not have with D'Angelo Russell, and that was he allowed Brandon Ingram to make mistake after mistake and wouldn't bench him, and would bench D'Angelo Russell rapidly after the smallest infraction.
Okay.
And that's the jive that they got. They were like, Luke Walton was as bad as Byron Scott in terms of being a butthole towards D'Angelo Russell.
Okay.
Anyways.
What is that supposed to mean to me? That means that probably Brandon Ingram deserved the special treatment he got. That's what I take that as.
I think the reclamation project's going to be great. Anyways,
the Celtics,
Spencer Dinwiddie.
The Celtics drafted Shemmy. Oh, I'm heartbroken.
Well, that's how you know he's trash. What are you worried about?
And the Sixers drafted Jonah Bolden while also drafting Pasechniks. Oh, I'm heartbroken and destroyed.
Plug the Spencer Dinwiddie, because that's an evergreen one. That's a nice one.
Yeah, so you can kind of take that and bottle it and drink it whenever you want. It's like a fine wine from 1949 from Argentina.
A Malbec.
A Malbec. So Spencer Dinwiddie pod, it will be the third. It will be the, I guess, 1-2 pod over from this one. Listen to it. Enjoy it. There's no Brook talk. There's no trade talk, but there's plenty of Dragon Ball Z talk. There's talk. Brian, you got a lot out of him from the basketball perspective.
Oh.
You dug into a little bit of how he draws fouls, of how players communicate in the way that they do. I think Spencer was really good with that. So listen to that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we want to do?
I think we should tie a bow on it.
All right. So thank you for listening. I'll be back maybe next week. Probably next week.
I think so.
We'll do something. We're going to try to narrow down on D'Angelo Russell. The goal of this pod will be, I didn't talk to you about this, but I think we should do a Russell report. We should do every pod, what's happening with D'Angelo Russell. Because he is the future, Bri.
We're going all in. Certainly are.
So we'll be back.
Wait, one last thing.
Please.
From the Stephen Bondi article, we didn't talk about this. Nobody's going to hear this at this point in the thing, but if you do, just, I hope you find this as funny as I do. And tweeted us. But there was this detail about how Lawrence Frank had all the players, like they had, like, with the poker chips.
Yeah.
I love that. Anyway, so if you didn't read the thing.
Did you like that movie?
It was so hilariously embarrassing. It's like something like Michael Scott would have done in the, you know what I mean?
Have we ever gotten that clear of a picture of why Lawrence Frank was hated?
Such a dweeb, yeah.
I mean, it's
crystal clear.
I think we, well, of course.
First of all, even symbolically speaking, sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
Even symbolically speaking, because it's not all in. It's not all in. You're throwing one chip at a time. That's not all
that's
in.
Paying
that's antiing. That's antiing, Lawrence. Obviously, never played a game. Never gambled in his life.
He's never been.
No.
He is the one friend. I know why Lawrence Frank was removed from his post as lead assistant to writing daily reports.
Favorite, also small detail, diligently wrote every one of those reports. Sorry. Okay, sorry.
Perfect. But like, it's like, we kind of, I think we all knew that he stepped in maybe too much, but the fact it was like that clear, of course they talked about the clipboard incident in Summer League, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What a fun, terrible year that was.
Yeah.
That mess of, if you're a body language observer like we both are, the fact that kid was coaching the way he did,
man,
the way he acted even on the sidelines was just a mess. It wasn't like any other coach. He had never – most coaches have some sense of like how to stand or sit. Even if you're a player like Derek Fisher, at least had some sense of what to be as a coach on the sidelines. But Jay Kidd seemed not to care.
It's a crying shame we didn't have our podcast – up and running at full speed at that point. Like, we were babies at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
Suckling at the
teeth. We'll be there for the next time it happens. For the next insane.
Who's going to be the next former Nets player?
The Nets in 2013 was an insane year. That was a great year to be.
I do want to draw one contrast, and I don't think it matters, but it's so we have these reports, News Around League, I have these reports that Phil Jackson was falling asleep during player workouts. This is from Jay Williams.
We should have put that in the News Around League.
Jay Williams worked out with... Jay Williams worked out... not worked out. Talked to a top 15 prospect.
Yeah.
I think we can kind of assume it's Luke Kennard because he goes to Duke.
Yeah.
Safe. Maybe Harry Giles if you want to be generous, but he was not a top 15 prospect. And that Phil Jackson was falling in and out of sleep of the workout. And then on the other end of the spectrum, we have Sean Marks, this sort of mysterious, you know, up. I feel like he's elevated, not in terms of his position, but like literally he's probably always on an elevated platform. He's like in the mountains as in New Zealander, you know, he's hiding.
He's in Mordor.
Yes. And just hiding away and planning his little thing and saying, oh, I'll grab D'Angelo Russell.
Middle Earth.
I'll take a 19-year-old who can block shots and dunk the ball. Take him. And it's interesting that we're at this point in New York basketball where we have old man Phil, who's the most famous coach of all time, being a disaster, an absolute disaster. Then we have a complete role player who no one even knew when he was a basketball player, and he is now kind of masterminding a team with no assets and turning them into an interesting team.
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
I wonder what a day in the life of Phil Jackson is right now. Like, is he just kicking his feet up on the desk? Like, what is he really
doing? Why is he doing this?
I don't know. $12 million? All right, take us out of here. Let's get out of here.
Thank you for listening. FBK Glue Guys on Twitter. Go to netsdaily.com. Almighty Baller Radio. By the way, download Dash Radio if you have a sec. We're live. Not live, but our shows run there on Wednesdays. And there's plenty of other good shows to listen to.
It's great to go on the Almighty Baller station and just listen to all like the league's team's news. Like, I just feel like, because you really get like a color of what's happening. It's like ESPN going on SB Nation and reading every blog.
You really do find out that ESPN and like just NBA general reporters kind of suck. Like, there's not enough texture, not enough meat on the bones. And, you know, it's nice to hear from the fan perspective. It's good. It's good. You should check it out.
So do that on SB Nation. Go to all the blogs. Go to Dash Radio. Go to all the blogs. All
right, Mike. Come on. Do it right or don't do it.
Good night. Thank you for listening. Jared Allen, you're welcome on our pod anytime you want.
Okay. Hey, good night. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Mike, good night. Bye.